It is over. Ladies and gentlemen, say it slowly and savor it. Wichita State is going to the Final Four for the first time in 48 years.
Unbelievable. What a scene, folks. The Shocker fans are just going crazy in the stands.
Just maybe the greatest win in the history of Wichita State basketball.
Hello, welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast. I'm Paul Sollentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Everybody loves lists, and we especially love lists when we are stuck indoors during a pandemic. So we have Kellen Marshall of Wichita State Basketball, and we're going to go over a list. Top 50 basketball games. I think it came out a couple years ago on the anniversary of, or on the occasion of, Greg Marshall's 300th win. 2019 was when the list was compiled, and Kellen has discussed the list, and now we're going to get some of his thoughts. The interesting thing, I think, being Kellen came to Wichita State in 2007 when he was 10, so he has seen all of these games unfold from a really unique perspective. I'll give you a little background on Kellen. Like I said, 10 years old in 2007 when his father, Greg Marshall, took over the head coaching position at Wichita State. Kellen joined the basketball staff in 2015 and is now graduate manager. Kellen, thanks for joining us. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing well, doing well. All right, we are going to start. Kellen has come up with a list of five games that that he would move up. We'll start with the first one on his list. Tennessee game in 2013-2014 at Intrust Bank Arena. It was number 33. The Shockers ranked 12th, defeated Tennessee 71-60. Kellen, take us through your view on that game.
Well, I know this story has been told a time or two by my dad, but the really crazy thing about this game was 2 days prior, I believe, Ron Baker turned his ankle in just a brutal way. And we were preparing that he was not going to play. I mean, it looked just nasty. I remember the game was on a Saturday, I believe. It was an early start around noon or one, something like that. And around 5 o'clock Thursday, you know, Ron is down for the count. Well, Friday, you know, the next day, our last practice before the game, his ankle is black. I mean, it's not just bruised; it's black. It's huge. It looks like a grapefruit. And so again, we're thinking there's no way Ron plays. And Ron's going, no, don't worry, coach. Like, I'm gonna rest it today. I'm gonna give it a go tomorrow. And so he goes through shoot around, I believe, and Todd wrapped his ankle up nice and tight, and nobody would have ever even known that he had gone through such an injury, you know, 42 hours before the game, because, you know, Ron was that tough, and he looked not quite 100%, but no limping, and turned in a decent performance, and definitely helped us win, and allowed Tekale to kind of steal the show down the stretch.
Ron played only 32 minutes in that game, scored 8 points. You're right about Tekale. That was one of Tekale's finer games. He had 19 points. He had 4 assists, made 9 of 11 free throws, and really played a big role in that game. Kellen, what was your thought on Intrust Bank Arena games? Those really grew to prominence during your time around. I guess they started during your time at Wichita State. What's been your view on that game, that day, as it's evolved?
Well, as I was looking through this list, one game that didn't make the top 50 that I thought was definitely worth some discussion was the Tulsa game, the very first one at Intrust. It was just so exciting to have, you know, a new venue, the NBA feel, and it's been a great tradition and something that, you know, can bring in, you know, a different part of Wichita. You have downtown Wichita being involved instead of, you know, 21st and Hillside, and I think it's awesome for the fans. It's a great recruiting sell for the players, and we've had some classics there. I mean, we did get rung up a couple times by the Big 12, but, you know, we've gone and paid them back at their place, and it's a great sell again for teams like that too. They want to come in, and if they might not have a chance to play at Coke Arena, they want to play at Intrust. So I really enjoy the Intrust game. It's always a nice change of pace as you're kind of trudging through the season.
I think it's turned into a really nice tradition. I always like to walk the concourse before the game, and you know, you're able to watch the people coming in from Old Town. It's just such an NCAA tournament feel is what I always feel like. I really, really think that's turned into a nice thing. So how far up would you move Tennessee? I had it at number 33. Are you talking a major jump or just a little bit higher? Maybe?
Not a major jump, but I just remember just the overall environment and the caliber of game. You know, it was such a high level game. There's a lot of NBA players on the floor. I think six at least. Josh Richardson, Jordan McRae, I don't think Trey Golden, I don't think he played for them. I don't think he played in the league, but Jaron Mamon may have played in the league. Jarnell Stokes might have played in the league. Tennessee might have had four league guys in their starting lineup, and I know we had three with Fred Brown and Clay Anthony. So, I mean, that's – anytime you get more than five or six NBA players on a court at one time, it's going to be a high-level game, and that game was no exception. And it was a lot closer than the nine-point final score indicated. I mean, it was a right touch-and-go. I think it was tied with 10 minutes to go, and then like we might have been up one or two with about 6 minutes to go. I looked back on it, and then a 12-2 run down the stretch kind of closed the deal.
December 14th, 2013, that game moved the Shockers to 10-0, which was the first time they had ever been 10-0. I think they had gone 9-0 four previous times, and finally got to 10-0 with that victory. Kellen, your next two games are both against an old Missouri Valley Conference rival. You had a 2013 game against Illinois State, and then the last Missouri Valley Conference game, the 2017 MVC Tournament Championship win against Illinois State. Take us through those two games and what you remember about those.
Well, I mean, the first Illinois State game on the list that came up is famously known as the Jackie Carmichael Kung Fu Fighting Game. And there was a little backstory to that game. Dana Ford was an assistant on our staff and had just joined Illinois State, his alma mater. And so there was, you know, there's a little bit of a rivalry and stuff people don't really understand when someone leaves a staff to go with him to the league. And so that made it just a little bit more, I would say, heightened anticipation for that game. And plus, it was a huge game for us as we're, you know, a bubble team at that point. And what was so crazy, I remember, I think that was my sophomore year of high school, and I'm watching with my mom and my sister at our house. And my mom, she always gets so nervous during games. She would go do laundry or cook, or she couldn't even watch. And so once they got that rebound to go, I think we were down five, they get the rebound. And we fouled 44, the point guard, Johnny Hill, I think was his name. And, you know, no call on the kick. Initially, my mom's like, oh, it's over. And she goes outside, and my sister and I are still watching. And, you know, they go back, they make the two free throws, they replay the kick. And it's so funny. We've watched that game on our DVR at our house so many times since. And you can see my dad, he's you know, frantic on the sideline, and he does a high kick with his foot. And then Coach Jans is at the same time from his chair seated. He does a little kick, and it's just hilarious. I'm doing the can-can over there on the bench. Well, they get the call, and then we have a great play after getting the two free throws and the ball, which, funny enough, it was actually awarded to the wrong player. On a flagrant one, it's the player that gets fouled. So instead of Tekale going to the line, who I don't think was shooting a great percentage during that season, he was struggling with his shot. Until later in that year, Clay Anthony goes, our best free throw shooter, knocks them both down. We play around the horn, kick to Dimitrik in the left corner for three, get a turnover. Carl Hall jumps in 95, and I think the same guy, Johnny Hill, dribbles it off his own foot. We get the ball, a little pick and pop to Clay. Malcolm gives it to him on time, and he sinks it, and the rest is history. And I don't think I've ever seen a more disappointed crowd than that crowd at Redbird Arena from the television. They were booing pretty loud, and we were fired up, and, you know, we stole one. We grabbed victory from the jaws of defeat, if you will. So without that game, you know, with one more loss, I think we get squarely on the bubble, and the Final Four run may never have happened. So that one, I could put that up as high as you want. It was such a crazy game and a memorable finish.
No doubt. Shocker scored 8 points in 40 seconds to win that game at Redbird Arena, finishing on an 8-0 run. And that was, you will not find many crazier final minutes than in that game. Valley Tournament 2017, take us through that one.
Again, a game that without it, I don't know if we make the tournament. In fact, I don't think we would have made the tournament. If you look back at our resume, you know, KenPom or not, we didn't have any wins that jumped out at anyone besides Illinois State at home, which they weren't getting enough respect either for how good they were, because they were a really well-coached and talented team. And, you know, it was too bad they didn't make it. But that game, it was awesome that, looking back, it was a way to leave the Valley on a high note, you know, having not won in St. Louis for, I don't know, 27 years, you know, then we win as that 34-0 season, and then winning again, you know, with a new group of guys, with different players than the guys who had won previously was very sweet. And there was no love lost between us and the Redbirds. And so to beat them how we did in a commanding fashion was just a phenomenal way to leave the Valley and put us in the tournament. And a team that no doubt deserved to go to the tournament, and just getting your bid punched, your ticket punched right before that long week off, you know, between the Valley tournament and the selection show is a tremendous feeling. And that game, I will always remember very fondly.
That was the 2017 Valley Tournament Championship. Shockers ranked 21st at the time, beat Illinois State 71-51. Connor Frankamp had a big game. He was tournament most outstanding player. He made 4 of his 6 threes and scored 19 points. When you brought up the bubble talk, I thought, well, I thought maybe you were exaggerating a little bit, but then I went back and looked. That team ended up a 10 seed, so you may indeed be correct. If they hadn't won that game, it probably would have been a nervous week, depending on how things would have played out. And like you mentioned, that just seems crazy now when you went back and, you know, and then you look what they did, beating Dayton, playing Kentucky so good, obviously an NCAA tournament caliber team.
Well, the craziest part of it all, I mean, you know, KenPom isn't everything, but it's a very good indicator of the efficiency of a team. And, you know, it's one thing if we were in, you know, the teens or the 20s, but we were, I think, number 7 in KenPom in the country going into Selection Sunday. I think if you look back when we played Kentucky after beating Dayton, which Dayton was our best win of the year, and they were a very well-coached team and a very talented team with Scoochie Smith and the rest of their cast of characters. But, you know, Kentucky gets a horrible draw, as we did playing them. The number 5 team in KenPom is a 10 seed in the NCAA tournament. So as high as you want to put a 10 seed, that's 37 by the ranking. As high as the best 10 seed can be a 37. I mean, it's just crazy some of the draws we've gotten, including 2 years prior. We'll talk about that KU game and the 7 seed we got as like an 11 in KenPom. So, you know, the committee has gotten smarter in recent years and with their seeding, but there were some definite injustices done through the years to the Shockers.
Yeah, we could probably spend a separate podcast discussing those kind of decisions. And I think Wichita State's case over the, you know, since 2014, it probably helped drive that decision for the NCAA to change how they did things. Let's go to the next one. A word about Illinois State. That was just the perfect way to leave the Valley. I think Illinois State was a rival for many years, and then once Creighton left, they really jumped into that prominent spot as pushing the Shockers in a lot of ways. So that was maybe the perfect way to leave the Valley. Next game on your list, we go back to 2013, the Final Four season, defeating LaSalle, 72-58, NCAA Tournament Sweet 16, first game in Los Angeles. Talk us through your experience in the Staples Center in the Sweet 16.
Well, that whole week leading up to the Sweet 16 was insane. I mean, the whole city of Wichita was on fire. I remember coming back to school and, you know, I went to Trinity Academy and we had uniforms. And I remember I think twice during that run, our headmaster like did a Wichita State Day, which of course I missed because it was on, you know, right before the game day. But it was just a surreal feeling of how excited the city was to be in the Sweet 16. And then the way the bracket broke with, I think, was it Tyrone Garland that hit the Southwest Philly floater to beat Ole Miss and Marshall Henderson?
I believe you're right. Yes, good memory.
The way that all happened, it was the most ho-hum Sweet 16 win, you know, you could ever imagine. And not that we thought it was going to be an easy game. You know, we prepared for LaSalle just like, you know, any other team, just like we were playing Gonzaga again. But Carl Hall and his rim running, I specifically remember, and his size just put us up big early, and we never looked back. I think we got up 22 or 24 at some point, and it was a very nice little cushion we had compared to Ohio State, who had to grind, and LaQuinton Ross hit his second straight game-winning shot over Arizona and Mark Lyons to advance to the Elite Eight to play us. So we were very fortunate with the way the bracket broke. But a win in the Sweet 16 to go to the Elite Eight, it's crazy that it could even be so low on the list, but that's kind of the style of game it was. It was kind of an easy one.
LaSalle advanced. They beat Kansas State, which was seeded fourth, and they beat 12th-seeded Mississippi. So it sounds like you would agree. I guess I've always thought that it was really helpful for the Shockers to get LaSalle and kind of save their legs. A game against K-State would have been filled with emotion, and that really helped them then 2 days later against Ohio State. Is that your thinking as well?
Absolutely. Or, I mean, the other team in that little pod was Wisconsin, and anytime you play a Wisconsin team, you know, Bo Ryan was coaching Gurian for a physical, grinded-out team against Big 12 quality players, and that would have been, you know, back-to-back Big 10 teams had they beaten Ole Miss. You know, any of the four teams we could have played would have been tough, but Wisconsin would have been a definite grinder, as well as K-State.
Yeah, I think anytime you can avoid Wisconsin in the NCAA tournament, that's a good plan. So the Shockers beat LaSalle 72-58. Malcolm Armstead had 18 on his way to All-West regional honors. Next game on your list, we go to the very start of that 2013 Final Four run. 73-55 win over Pittsburgh, Salt Lake City.
Yeah, and I believe you had this one at 14, and right. Honestly, it's very close to my top 10. But I'll leave it out of the top 10 just to be able to discuss it here. Going into this game, my family and my dad, I mean, we had one tournament win. That was it. All the success to Wichita State, you know, we had some good years and won the NIT and then were a 5-seed the previous year but lost. So our little tradition when we would go to the tournaments at Winthrop, you know, when my sister and I were real little, we would go buy a T-shirt from the site before the game started just because, you know, when you're a 14 or 15 or 16 seed as we were most years, you don't expect to stay that long. If you stay, it's great, but usually you don't. So I went up with my sister and I bought this shirt, and I wore it. I wore it last week. I still have it. And it's just a shirt. It says March Madness on the front. And on the back, it has all the eight teams from that site. I think New Mexico and Harvard were on the other side, and Harvard upset New Mexico. That was a big deal. But the shirt says, stay as long as you can. And it just, I don't know, it all fit together to where, you know, we did stay as long as we could. And that was the second win we had ever had. So it was a huge deal to win a tournament game. And the way we did it and with such authority over a Pittsburgh team who was vastly underseeded as well. They were a 4 or 5 seed in those projections going into the tournament. And I think they ended up 20 in KenPom. I don't know what they were pre-tip, but they were, I think they were a little disappointed by their draw. We got after them and won with ease, which again, set up a great game with Gonzaga, which we'll talk about later. And Gonzaga had to really battle against the Southern Jaguars just to play us. So once again, we got a little more rest before a huge game coming up.
The first thing that springs to mind with this game is Tekale Cotton's defense on pit guard Trey Woodall. He just really totally took him out of the game. I think Woodall went 1-for-12, was really kind of deflated after the game. I remember that in the post-game interviews. Just a defense, a really strong defensive game by the Shockers. Was that the feel going into the game that defensively Wichita State could really dictate things and take things away from Pitt?
Well, when Jamie Dixon was coaching at Pitt, you know, they had a reputation of being bullies, you know, being tough, you know, just kind of like how we have that reputation. And you think back to the Marquette days with Buzz Williams and those teams, you know, there are just some teams that have that toughness reputation and a mentality to go along with it. Pitt also had Talib Zana and Steven Adams down low. So they were as big as you could want at the 4 and the 5, along with, I think, a guy named Lamar Patterson, who was kind of like a Draymond Green type, number 21. I remember him on a drive. This was when the rule was pretty fresh, but he elbowed Ron. He's going right, and he's trying to hold Ron off. Ron's, you know, battling to get back in front. He elbows him in the face, and we get 2 free throws and the ball. And it was a big turning point because the game was pretty tight up until then, and then we just kind of started pushing it out. Everyone will remember the highlight of Tekale jumping the passing lane and getting the thunderous slam on the other end with 2 hands. So it was a sweet victory for us. You know, Pittsburgh at the time, and still is, a very proud program, but they were really rolling then, just off the heels of some years with DeJuan Blair, if you remember him. And so getting that win was huge for my dad and his career, and just, you know, the second tournament win, the first at Wichita State.
Shockers forced 15 turnovers in that game. That was a big part of things. Malcolm Armstead, another big game, 22 points. Klee Anthony Early coming off the bench. That's kind of a underrated, overlooked detail from that run. I think the first 2 games he came off the bench. He had 21 points, 7 rebounds, and you mentioned Steven Adams, who's gone on to a very successful NBA career. He had 13 points, 11 rebounds for the Panthers, and that was about it for Pitt. One of the other interesting things about this game, and you mentioned it, I know Fred VanVleet has told the story about after the game sticking around to watch Gonzaga play, and they struggled, beat Southern 64-58, and that really gave the Shockers, you know, a good look at Gonzaga, and they walked out of that arena feeling like they could play with the Zags. Did you stick around too? Do you remember being part of that?
I did not stick around, but I remember watching it and, you know, getting texts from people that were still at the game. I also remember the Southern band being a huge hit. They just play with a lot of funk and passion, and everyone was loving them because as they made their runs and made some crazy shots, you know, the band would get their time to shine in the timeouts. So that's one thing I remember about the game, but it was pretty crazy. I was thinking, you know, could we be the first team to play a 16 in the second round? But guess who ended up being that team? Kansas State, I believe, right? Or was that, yeah, they were a 9 seed and they played UMBC.
Right. Yes, Fred also mentioned the bands. I think he ripped on the Gonzaga band. They did not come up well in comparison to the Southern band. And what I remember the Southern band, and I remember it in, you know, the NCAA tournament. You're back in the media room, and you're writing the Wichita State story, but you're keeping an eye on this. And so at some point, you know, everybody was compelled to come out of the media room and watch to see if Southern had a chance to become the first 16 seed. So that was quite a big day, and a lot of stories going on for that. And I agree, that's one of those. There's several on this list that you think, boy, that's just a monumental victory. But there's so many of them. It's sometimes difficult to move them up or down. All right, let's go to the top 10 now, Kellen. How do you reorder it? How do you re-rank it? What are your thoughts on the top 10 victories?
So the only game that I took out of the top 10. Was the win over VCU at VCU in 2012 to start the Final Four season, only because I really value, and again, I have a little bias because I was a part of this team, But the win over Dayton in the first round of the tournament was really, really sweet. It was, you know, a long time coming. That team with Landry and his redshirt freshman year, Shaq and Rashard and Zach and Daryl and Rano and all those guys that were juniors, O'Connor, they hadn't really left their mark post Fred and Ron and Evan and that great senior class. So getting the win over Dayton in a very pro Dayton house, Indianapolis is pretty close to Dayton, Ohio, and the Dayton fans travel really well. And we had our contingent there who was, they were loud and proud, but Dayton was in charge of that arena, no doubt. But we weathered a great performance in the first half by Scoochie Smith. And I remember, I can't remember the guy's first name, number three, the two guard, I think his last name was Davis. He had the task of guarding Connor Frankamp. And Connor, as you said, you know, was MVP of Arch Madness, and he was on an absolute tear. And that guy put on one of the most incredible defensive performances that I have ever seen. Every time Connor caught the ball, this guy was right up in his grill. I mean, and he would come over and help, and there'd be a long skip to Connor, and he's there on the catch. I mean, it was very, very impressive, and that's what his rep was. He was a stopper, just like DeKale. But finally, you know, some of the great plays that stick out in my mind of that game. Number one, Rashard makes a three at the halftime buzzer, a crazy looking three, kind of double pumped and knocked one in. Another play, we got an offensive rebound or something, or a loose ball. I don't remember. I got to go back and watch. But there was no reset of the shot clock. We must have missed the rim. And Rano gets it. And he's looking around, looking for somebody to pass to, and everyone kind of leaves him. And he takes one dribble and two-hand slams with about 1 second on the clock. That was a huge play mid-second half. And then, of course, I think the play of the game came from Shaq, who finally found an open Connor to put the dagger in the game. Connor hits an open three from the right wing. Nothing but net after getting no looks all night, which kind of salted the game for us. So that was a huge win. To solidify kind of the program's prominence post Fred and Ron and Evan. So it was awesome, and those guys, they deserved it.
That game, 2017 NCAA tournament opener in Indianapolis, as you said, 64-58 win by the Shockers. Landry Shamet had 20 points. Kyle Davis is the Dayton defender you were talking about. Kyle Davis. And Connor, that was his big shot. A minute 27 to go. Push Wichita State's lead up to 7. That was his only basket of the game. Went 1 for 5 from the field, 1 for 3 from 3. So Kyle Davis did indeed do his job. All right, that's interesting you bring up Kyle Davis. Is there another name or two, an opposing player that you know, that really stood out to you as, you know, doing things in an impressive way that maybe the rest of us wouldn't, you know, name wouldn't come to mind for the rest of us?
Uh-oh. Sorry, Paul, hold on.
It's okay.
Okay, I think I might have hit the accident mute button. Okay, this is my first, this is Zoom. This is what Zoom's all about, I guess, the mute button. Anyway, a guy, and he's not going to be talked about as much on this list, but he was a good offensive player as well. But Corey Davis from Houston, my dad and I both, we had a man crush on him and his game. The way he competes, how hard he plays, his tenacity. I would take him on my team every day of the week. He is an absolute dog, as we would say. And, yeah, I'm really impressed by him. And he, you know, Rob Gray was kind of the guy that took Houston from, you know, where they were to where they're at now. But he couldn't have done it without Corey Davis. And on top of that, Galen Robinson. I mean, they had three guards that were as tough as Fred, Ron, and DeKale. Not quite as decorated in the tournament, but still guys that had great careers and took Houston to you know, it's new heights, and now they're right now looking, coming back to this 2020-21 season. They're the class of the American. as far as all the press goes. So you got to give them a lot of credit, and I definitely admire how hard they play.
Yeah, those Houston guards are quite impressive. All right, what else in the top 10? So we've got Dayton NCAA tournament moving up. I believe you mentioned the Northern Iowa game is one that rings more prominently for you. Tell us about that.
Well, that one is actually has moved way up my list. So number 9 for me is a game that I was at. I was a freshman in high school and sat on the end of the bench next to our former manager, Drew Bridges, who was as fired up as any human being could possibly be for that game. But it was the at Creighton game in 2011-12. It was basically for the league championship. We were 12-2 coming to the game. Creighton was 11-3, but Creighton had beaten us at Wichita State on New Year's Eve, and we had the blackout, and Doug McDermott made enough shots to take us down. It was a team effort, though. Funny thing about that game at home that people probably don't ever have ever heard, Evan Wessel and Ron Baker were not big parts of that team. They were, I think Ron was redshirting and Evan was is just freshman year. But they're on the bench, and right in front of our bench, they're inbounding, and Doug McDermott's throwing it in. And Ron and Evan swear that Evan reached out and pulled Doug's shorts down. And nobody saw it, but they were messing with him. And I just think that's a hilarious little thing that, that people probably have never heard. So they were doing the best they could to get in his head, even while being on the bench. But the game at Creighton was, you know, again, for the league championship. And they were 17th in the country. They were, I know they were ranked.
Yes, 17.
To go in and just smack them how we did was an awesome feeling. You know, Creighton fans up to that point, you know, kind of had the upper hand on us. And we took it to them. Joe Ragland was phenomenal. Remember, Stutz got in early foul trouble, but Carl Hall was able to come in and battle Gregory Echenique. Ben Smith, who was my roommate on the road this year as a GA, did one of his many masterful jobs on Doug McDermott, shut him down and hit some baskets of his own. And it was the crowning achievement for that group to go in there. I remember all the pictures after. I mean, it was the conference race was a done deal after that. So it was one of the sweetest victories I can remember.
Yeah, that was certainly a milestone for that team with the history at Creighton and how well they played. I don't know. They also played really well against UNLV that season. That jumps to mind. Going to Davidson, but the Creighton game may be the, you know, their peak achievement. All right, where do we go next? So that's number 9 on your list now.
That's number 9. Number 8, I slid it back one. The Indiana game, the first round of the tournament. Again, anytime you can beat Indiana. It's a huge accomplishment. My favorite game, it's not on this list because it happened post 300 for my dad and his terms of his victories, but the at Indiana game in the NIT is no doubt my favorite game. I've been a part of as being on staff since being in college. But the one in the tournament was pretty crazy. You know, we're in there with two blue bloods, KU and Indiana. I remember Fred coming out of the locker room. We had these really cool warm-ups that had hoods on them, and everyone's just running out, and Fred had his hood on. I mean, and it was his Muhammad Ali moment. I mean, you could just tell he was ready to go. And Tekale actually was, if I remember correctly, he was getting cooked a little bit by Yogi Ferrell. And Fred was doing his thing on the other end. He was scoring. And I remember we switched the matchup, and we put Fred on Yogi. They had James Blackman. They had all kinds of dudes on that Indiana team. Lots of talent. But Fred was able to kind of shut his water off. And I think Fred had 27 and 9 in that game, something like that.
27 points, 4 assists for Fred in that game. Yes.
I was trying to give him a little few extra, but his performance and just the way he willed us to win when Ron kind of struggled. Was really impressive, and it set up the number 3 game on my list, which is one of my favorite wins I'll ever see in my whole life.
I think one of my first conversations, may have been the first conversation with Fred's dad, stepdad, Joe Danforth, he mentioned the rivalry with Yogi Ferrell. They had a history, I believe, going back to, it was either AAU or high school, maybe AAU. So I think that was definitely one of the subplots of that Indiana game. Fred really enjoyed and really wanted to play against Yogi Ferrell. That was what a great weekend for the fans to play Indiana and then play Kansas.
I didn't know that about Fred, but that makes sense. I know Yogi was probably a little more highly rated than Fred. Goes to Indiana, and as everyone in Shocker Nation knows, Fred has that chip on his shoulder. And anybody that gets more press and more love than him, he just wants to take their hearts and take them down. That's how he is. And that's why I love Fred so much.
I was not a fan of the hooded warm-ups, though. I have to disagree with you on that one. I didn't like that style at all.
Okay, that's all right. That's all right. So number 7 on my list, you have at 4, and it was the it's real tough. I gave him the number 6 a little bump, a little personal bias. But number 7 is the game that took us to 34-0, the win over Indiana State at Arch Madness, our first Arch Madness championship since, what, 87? Oh, we didn't have one, but we had won the Valley Championship in 87. So I remember going into that game after, I mean, the way we handled business in the quarterfinals and the semifinals was just incredibly impressive. I think we were up 65-25 against Missouri State at one point. I don't know if that's actually the score, but it felt like that. And we were looking as good as we could coming into the game. So I'm thinking, if we can't win Arch Madness with this team, 33-0, we're never going to win it. So, and it got tight. And Coach Godino will begrudgingly tell me, that some calls on Jake Odom here kept them from getting their second Arch Madness title at the expense of the Shockers. But Fred and Takale and Ron and those guys, they did what they needed to do, and they set the precedent, 34-0. No team had entered at that point 34-0 into the tournament. So it was really, really special and an all-time achievement in college basketball.
That's the 2014 Valley Tournament Championship game. Shockers ranked number 2 in the nation at that point, 83-69 over Indiana State. Fred Van Vliet with 22 points. You mentioned Lou Godino, who was an assistant at Indiana State at that point and now is that assistant coach at Wichita State. I guess I remember two things about that. One, I believe it was Ron, maybe Fred, just a couple Shockers. Ron, I remember for some reason kind of getting up and giving Jake Odom an ovation when he checked out of the game. I think he later explained how much respect they had for Jake Odom. That was a nice moment. And then I remember throughout that season just wishing that Creighton had not left the Valley, because they were really good. The Shockers were really good. Those would have been two really fun matchups, or three really fun matchups, had they still been in the Valley. Do you remember the ovation for Jake Odom from the bench?
I do remember that, and that, I think that was Ron. I think you're right, and it was, very classy move by Ron. And Jake Odom was a guy that gave us fits all 4 years. He won at least once in Coke Arena. He lost a triple overtime game to us, knocked us out of the Valley Tournament in 2011. I don't think I've ever cried so much in my life, because I thought that team was destined to make the tournament. And we hadn't been in 4 years at Wichita State, and I'm like, this is our year. I was used to going to the tournament at Winthrop 7 times in 9 years, so I was a pretty sad guy thanks to him. But Jake was a tremendous player, and to beat him was definitely no easy task anytime that he laced him up. So definitely a great move by Ron.
What's next?
Number 6 is – it's a regular season game, but it's one of my top 3 favorites. At Cincinnati, when they were number 5 in the country and we were number 19. Now, that week, honestly, the whole week was incredible. And that Temple game that preceded that Cincinnati win, in terms of just sheer volume at Coke Arena, it definitely makes it in my top 5. I remember we gave up 55 points in the first half against Temple, and there was some crazy plays, and there was a huge scrum in the middle of the second half, and Shaq got on the floor. We had, I think, 4 guys on the floor, and he ended up passing to Connor, and we win that game 93-86. Well, we 2 days later, we pack up, and we go to Cincinnati, and they had just lost to Houston. They went to Houston and lost to Rob Gray and those guys I had talked about previous. Which was huge, because they were going into the week 13-0, and we were 10-3. So we needed some help to catch them. Well, we got our help, and now we have a chance to sweep them and control our own destiny down the stretch and tie them at 15-3 and win the American in our first year. Well, I remember hearing that Cincinnati, you know, they were playing at Northern Kentucky's court. It was such a big game for them, you know, and obviously for us too. I don't want to sound like Penny here, but it was a big game for both teams. But it was a huge game for them to have a ranked team come in as well. They were supposed to keep Northern Kentucky's logo on Northern Kentucky's court, where John Brandon, their current coach, was at the time, a friend of my dad's, who he actually coached in college. Not the point of the story. Anyway, Cincinnati, I paid a small fee to have all their branding because it was such a hyped up game. 12 o'clock, I think it was on ESPN, big ESPN. And it was our first win over a top five team on the road in at least 50 years. It was an incredible environment. They had a red out. And you go back, and I've watched this game quite a few times since. And every time I go back, I just marvel at how many tremendous players were on the floor at one time. Cincinnati had, you know, Jacob Evans and Gary Clark were their studs, two NBA players. Kyle Washington, who for whatever reason didn't play much in the second half, was a stud down low, number 24, the lefty. They started Justin Jennifer, who was obviously solid, and then Jerron Cumberland, my nemesis, who he wasn't even a huge piece of their team. He was a starter, and he did play well in that game. He had 16 points. I think he was like 3-for-10 from three. Our only win over him in his career, as much as that sucks to say, but it was a big one. And then off the bench, you know, they had guys like Nasir Brooks and Trey Scott, who's now killing, and Kane Broom. I mean, they were loaded. And then you look at our team, we brought off the bench that year Samaje, Austin Reeves, Marcus, Darrell Willis, and Ronald Nerger. That's our bench, and to go along with Connor, Landry, Zach, Richard, and Shaq. So we were incredibly deep, incredibly talented, and it was just a very high-level game. The way we attacked their defense, you know, they played a lot of way-up-the-line defense where they wouldn't even worry about helping. They would be so far in denial, they'd have their back turned to the ball, so you had to really handle pressure, and the guards had to get downhill and make plays. And Landry and Connor and Austin, those guys did a tremendous job. And it was a sweet win. On top of that, I don't think I've ever, my job is to call out plays of other teams and translate and yell to our players as it happens. I was never so locked in than that game. I mean, I remember getting a few calls where I would yell it out to, I remember I got Connor a steal where he caught it literally like a fair catch. I said, Connor, they're going to try to get you and they're going to go this way. It was during a dead ball. And he jumped in front of it, and boom, steal. So everybody pulled their weight, including me, and I was just ecstatic about that one. And it set up what, even though it was a loss, the game against Cincinnati to close the regular season was an incredibly special moment and a huge game, 10 versus 11 on CBS. So
that February 8 game, Shockers ranked 19th. They defeated Cincinnati. Bearcats ranked 5th, defeated them 76-72. Shamet had 19. I think this was one of his better games of his career at Wichita State. He had 16 of those points in the first half. And I think he really, my memory of that game is there were a few times where, you know, Cincinnati was really making a run where things really could have gotten bad for the Shockers, and Landry was there to really steady things. I think both Austin Reeves and Connor Francamp made some big shots that, you know, just kept things kind of stable for the Shockers. Definitely a landmark win. Ended Cincinnati had a 39 game home win streak. Number five, who you got there?
Number five is the same number five as yours. It is the NIT championship over Alabama. At the time, you know, it's hard to go back, you know, to when I was in eighth grade and kind of understand the magnitude of that win and the NIT championship, but it, you know, my dad will say the same thing. It was the springboard to a lot of our success. And, you know, we beat four, at the time, BCS teams, you know, Nebraska, Virginia Tech, Washington State, and then Alabama. Graham Hatch was an absolute sniper in that game, which is funny because he had talked about wanting to be a Navy SEAL sniper for his career, which I think he's now a police officer in Mesa, Arizona, last I heard. But Graham was absolutely incredible and was the MVP of the NIT. And winning that at the Garden, anytime you get to go play in Madison Square Garden is very special. But on top of it, to win a championship and one that is very special in college basketball history. The NIT, you know, has a lot of meaning even to this day, I think, with all of the history and how it used to rival the NCAA tournament. So that got the city of Wichita really excited about Shocker basketball and was the springboard to the next seven NCAA tournaments in a row.
No question. Graham Hatch, MVP of that NIT tournament. He was just great from three-point range throughout that whole run. He had 12 points in that championship game. JT Durley had 12 points in the championship game. And I think that team will be forever credited with taking a disappointing end to the season and turning it into something that really memorable for Shocker fans. Number four, who do you have there?
Number four is number nine on your list. This is one that I thought was a really just incredible. Everything outside the game is why I put it so high. Having College Game Day, you know, who knows if that'll ever happen again. That's a huge deal, especially the time being in the Valley. You know, in the American, there's a better chance that we could get an opponent in conference that could merit, you know, College Game Day coming down to see us. And you got to give a lot of credit to Northern Iowa. I mean, Ben Jacobson had Northern Iowa number 10 in the country. I would be hard-pressed to find many coaches that could do that. It was a team that we got pummeled by early in the year. I think we lost by 18 or something like that. I don't even want to think about it. That was a long afternoon inside the McLeod Center, and I still know their fight song by heart because I heard it so many times that day. But having game day, having Stephen A. Smith as a guest on game day, I remember we got to the night before go to some wine tasting or whatever where the College Game Day people were there. They knew some people that hosted us. My sister and I got to go, and Jay Billis and Jay Williams and Reese and Coach Greenberg, and they invited us to game day the next day. They said, hey, you guys come hang out with us backstage. You know, backstage was the say-so room. But just getting to spend time with them before the game, you know, talking about what they do. They're so funny, you know, all down-to-earth people, even Stephen A., you know, just a cool dude. Not really like his TV character. You know, he's much more subdued. But it was really special that we got to do that. And spend time with them prior. I remember getting tears in my eyes, honestly, seeing the crowd when they first opened game day. You know, it was the big roar. It was just amazing to see that my dad's program has come to this point where we're hosting College Game Day on ESPN, 10 versus 11 for the Valley Championship. And then the way the game was played was just a cherry on top. We played really well for 35 minutes. You and I came back from an 18-point deficit, I believe, and cut it to four. But just all of the plays, you know, to Kale on senior day, hitting a shot, falling out of bounds over by the left coach's box line on the opposite side. Fred cooked, what's the guy's name? Bohannon, Matt Bohannon. Fred gave him the between-between pull-up and kind of froze him right before commercial. And That was great. And then, of course, the Kale's dunk, one of the most iconic moments in Shocker history, that dunk. I mean, the people remember that one for a long time. He promised his mama, Lisa, that he would do a windmill. That's what she asked for. And, you know, he delivered. And it was a great send-off for he and Darius and also gave us that Valley Championship. Thank you, Marty Simmons and Evansville, for knocking them off in the first game of the Valley season and giving us that one-game cushion. So we didn't have to share.
That 2015 game at Coke Arena, Shockers number 11, 74-60 over number 10, Northern Iowa. Ron Baker had 17. It was a bad weather game, too. I remember the snow and the Shocker fans turned out for game day, through all that. So, yeah, quite a day.
I had to wear Timberland boots into the game day room. I had my dad's Timberlands. I didn't have any shoes quite ready for that kind of snow. But number three, I could talk about for hours, the KU game in 2015. This one was obviously very personal for me, being a little kid, 10 years old. And at Winthrop, nobody really cared a whole lot about Winthrop basketball in the scheme of the state. South Carolina and Clemson were, way bigger schools. But in Kansas, there's fewer schools. And, you come to elementary school and kids ask, is Wichita State even D1? And, that's hard to hear, definitely some bullying from KU people, but that game ended all of the animosity and the all the feelings of negativity towards KU. I remember when the bracket dropped, it was a nervous feeling, but I prepared well. I remember my photo of my shirt that I had, the Kings of Kansas shirt. We had that shirt since the NIT championship. A friend of ours made it and sent it to us. And so as soon as the game was announced, I said, "Mom, you got to go get that shirt for me from your closet, and I'm taking it to the game." So I had it in my hoodie all day long, preparing to pull it out. And once the game was in hand, I let it be shown, the Kings of Kansas. Just a really well-played game all around. We took it to them from a toughness standpoint, which was important because KU has always been tough too. That's how you win 14 straight Big 12 championships. You win the hustle plays over teams time and time again. Anything specific you want to talk about with that game? Because I could go any direction.
Yeah, obviously a landmark. I guess I'm interested in Evan Wessel, who always would do a good job of keeping his thoughts and his emotions private. So behind the scenes, how thrilled was he with, 4 3-pointers, 12 points, just playing the game of his life in, one of Wichita State's biggest games?
You're right. Evan was always a guy that kind of, kept himself. I mean, Evan's funny. He's quick-witted and he'll hang back and throw a joke in there now and again, but for the most part, he's about his business and his work. And, just like Fred and Yogi Ferrell, I mean, Evan had a clear motivation to beat his buddy Perry. Perry very highly touted, and Evan shined that day. That was probably the high watermark of his career. He had the 4 threes, and you need that in a game like that. You need guys to step up, X factors and unsung heroes, and Evan was definitely that for that day. I do have a one kind of funny story. After the game, we're back in the locker room. I don't know if people remember when Fred was going up for a shot and gets Perry in the nose on a layup attempt, and they reviewed it and, clean play, and Perry goes out for a couple minutes, which, hurt their team. Well, after the game, my dad and my mom and I are talking to Fred, and they're like, "Fred, did you get him on purpose?" And Fred just kind of looks at us and just gave us a nice little smile and a little wink, and, that's all I have to say about that. But you just know Fred is a lot like Michael Jordan you'll see in these next 4 weeks. Fred has that same mindset of whatever it takes to win, he'll do it. So it was just another cherry on top of the Sunday that was the KU game. One of my favorites from now until I die, for sure.
This is the 2015 NCAA tournament, Shockers 78, Kansas 65. DeKale with another big game, had 19 points. That story about Fred, it also strikes me that Fred is cagey enough that he would want people to think, he would want to leave that doubt in your mind. What exactly, was he thinking, whether it was more intentional or not, he wouldn't want to give that away. He was kind of that, kind of a heads up guy.
He's savvy enough to fool all three refs, including two of my favorite refs, John Higgins and Kip Kissinger. I know people may have gripe with me including those guys, but I'm telling you, they're great refs. And anyone who calls the KU game as an official, and we come out victorious, they're good forever in my book. So, whenever you see Kip or John, just know we're in good hands.
You know, this is a good list when that's number three, because that was certainly a big win. Shocker fans really, really enjoyed that for sure. And what a weekend. I guess that's what I keep going back to, is so close. Fans could drive to it. They could get there to beat Indiana and then to beat Kansas. That was just quite the experience for the Shocker fans. Who do we have at number two?
Number two is your number two. I have no gripe with your top three. The Ohio State game that put us in the Final Four. A weird thing that I, you know, can't explain. All my life, you know, I've been traveling to these games and staying in hotels. Well, I never once hit the emergency elevator button that causes the alarm to go off and ring until before the Gonzaga game. We're going down for the game, and I hit the button. I'm like, oh, man. And I, you know, well, I don't know if this means anything, but it meant something to me. It meant some good omens that as we're going down, my dad and I are in the elevator. He runs into the emergency button, and the alarm goes off. And that's the only two times it's ever happened in my life, and it's before the two top games on this list. So maybe next time we have a big game, I need to hit that button. Anyway, I remember Coach Smith, who was an Ohio State graduate, telling me the day before the game in Staples Center, as we're doing our practice, he goes, oh, we're going to win this game. And I said, why, Coach? He goes, oh, it means more to us. He said, a lot of those guys, you know, it's, you know, it means a lot to Aaron Kraft. But he said, LaQuentin Ross and those guys, they, it's not as big of a deal as it is to us to win this game, to beat Wichita State. That's not much to them, but it's Final Four for us. And I'm like, oh, come on, Coach, you know, it's Final Four. But if you watch kind of how the game unfolded and how they came out, I think somehow in an Elite Eight game, we took them a little bit by surprise. You know, we won most of the hustle plays and got out to the 13-point halftime lead. Fred was masterful late clock. He had the one play similar to Nurge's play against Dayton, where there's a kick out and Fred up fakes from the 3-point line, gets all the way to the rim with 1 second on the clock, you know, drops it in. I remember Reggie Miller thought that Klay Anthony ruptured his Achilles, and then 3 minutes later he comes back into the game. Carl took an elbow to the chops and had to go back to the locker room. At one point, we had on the floor, I think it was Malcolm, Fred, Ron, Tekel, and Klee. We were super small ball before it was really popular. A ton of crazy moments. Ron goes 9 for 9 from the foul line, I think, after on his birthday, and Carl's birthday was the LaSalle game. Things just seem to really align for us to win that game. And that's what you need. And if you're going to go to the Final Four, I don't care if you're the number one overall seed, things have to align for you, and everything aligned that day. I did say, you know, I wish I could appreciate the significance of it during the time, like I do now. You know, as time passes, you understand how hard it is to go to a Final Four more and more. And I did my best to just soak that one in and revel in the glory that is a regional championship. I mean, there's nothing really like it.
West Regional Final in Los Angeles, 2013, Shockers 70, Ohio State number 60, or Ohio State 66. Buckeyes were the 2 seed in that region. And yes, I think the early parts of that game were really critical. Wichita State led 53-33 at one point.
Yep.
I went back and watched not this whole game, but parts of it within the last week or so. And what jumped out to me was in those, you know, it was a close game for, you know, a fair part of the first half. And Klay Anthony early really stood out. Not that you needed reminding how good that guy was, but I think he really made some important baskets when maybe the game was a little bit more 50-50. And he made some shots that really, really propelled the Shockers in that one. Malcolm Armstead had 14. You were right about Ron. Perfect from the line. He ended up with that was all the points he scored. That's interesting. He was at 9 points, all from the free throw line. Yep. Fred Van Vliet, 12 points off the bench.
Yep. It was, I mean, you're right about Klee. And I made a little thread on Twitter on the, what is it, 7-year anniversary of this game. Some of the plays to Kale's three, when the lead had been trimmed from 20 to 3 with 2 minutes to go, was huge. Then he gets the offensive rebound and reset the 35-second shot clock back then. You know, the reset's only 20 now, but just a huge rebound, which he was very famous for. Fred's floater in the lane that touches every part of the rim, which Reggie Miller said was kissed, touched by an angel or kissed by an angel. You know, that could very easily be, you know, Fred's dad looking down on him. I mean, it just everything, like I said, just aligned perfect for us to win that game and go to the Final Four.
Yeah, the Tikal rebound, and then that led to Fred's shot, right? I went back and watched this sequence. Yeah. And, you know, I wrote so many stories over the years about Fred having that clock in his head where he just knew, you know, he could just take it down to the very last second and never rush, never get out of, you know, never panic in those situations. And that was, boy, as a freshman, that was a good indication of what he could do in those situations. All right, that leads us to number one, and not going to be much of a surprise.
Yeah, the Gonzaga game, I mean, they were number one in the country. I don't know, had we ever beaten number one in the country at that point?
Cincinnati, back in 63.
Wow, was that with Big O?
No, he was gone by then.
Okay, that predates me. That's when my dad was born that year. But, to beat the number one team in the country, you know, it sucked a little bit because – it almost, you know, people see Gonzaga and they're like, oh, well, you only beat Gonzaga. That team was loaded. I mean, they had, you know, Kelly Olynyk and Kevin Pangos, Gary Bell and Elias Harris. I mean, down the list, they had NBA players come off the bench.
Anybody who says that, just disregard them as a serious college basketball fan. That team was really good.
Right.
That program is really good. They don't need to be apologized for. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And it was the stretch, you know, the stretch run that we had to close the game obviously is what stands out to me. You know, there was a great back and forth, and people have heard the story of my dad calling timeout down 58-51, I think, or during a media and said, yeah, he didn't actually call timeout, let's be real. But it may have been during a media where he said, okay, if I asked you in October 15th, first day of practice, you're down seven with 8 minutes to go against the number one team in the country, would you take it with a chance to go to the Sweet 16? And they all, you know, had a resounding yes, and it was a great way to kind of refocus them. And I think it was 23 points in 9 possessions down the stretch, 5 threes and 4 twos. Ron hit a couple, Klee hit a couple, and, of course, Fred's capper off a mishandled dribble right in front of my dad. Over David Stockton with John Stockton in the stands. Just an incredible sequence. And that's the beauty of the tournament. You know, if we played Gonzaga 10 times that year, we probably only win 2 or 3. They were that good and that big. And they were number one in the country for a reason. But it's single elimination. And if you get hot, the three is the great equalizer. We made 14 of 28 threes, which is, you know, you're not going to lose very many games doing that. I remember, you know, Carl's jab jumper to take the lead at 63-62. He didn't have that shot the previous year. He worked on it all summer. You know, he was just an inside guy. He was a bully his junior year, and he told me, he said, Kellen, I'm going to get this mid-range in my game. I'm going to get it in my game. And I said, okay, show me. And, you know, I remember being in the gym with him and being in there with Malcolm and to see, you know, the dream of the Sweet 16, really, that was the dream. There wasn't really a huge Final Four mindset unless your name was Malcolm Armstead, who he said coming into the year, he said, I'm not here to do what I did at Oregon. I'm here to go to the Final Four. And that's what it takes. You have to have your leader believing, and Malcolm believed. And there's the dog. It was incredibly special. It was an incredibly special way that the game was finished. The flurry of offense, there's nothing like it. It was a rush that I've never experienced until that point, and hopefully we can experience again soon.
So this is a 76-70 win over Gonzaga in the 2013 NCAA tournament, Salt Lake City. Baker and Early both with 16 points. That final 8 minutes, yeah, I think if you want to watch one 8-minute stretch of Shocker basketball. That might be the most entertaining stretch out there. Famous for, so many reasons. I think the big, you had made your way down to the court for the big mosh pit, pep band, coaches hugging interaction. Am I remembering that correctly?
Right. Yeah. And we were watching my dad get interviewed after the game, and they called us to run and hug him. So, looking back, that's a sweet moment. You know, it's funny because of just how much my sister and I have changed, how much different we look now. But, that's something that's what the tournament's about. It's celebrating with your family. My mom and him had a huge hug. It was so cool. Another thing that just kind of came to my head, a huge play right after we got the lead. They do a inbound violation. They pass it in, and then David Stockton walks to go throw it in again. Who was on the game? John Higgins. So Shocker fans, give this guy some credit. He's been a part of two of the top three wins on this list. But you need all breaks you can get, like I said, to win games against great teams. And we got it. Gonzaga was a program and is a program that we want to emulate. Their success and sustain success as a non-Power 5 is inspiring. And to beat them was kind of a springboard to the success we've had. It was the catalyst for everything that's come from that moment on.
No doubt. Quite a day in Salt Lake. All right, Kellen. Well, this has been highly entertaining. I appreciate it. We've got more to talk about. We may get back together and do this again after we've had time to regroup. I really appreciate your time. Thanks very much for all the behind-the-scenes stuff. Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We appreciate your time. We encourage you to rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, such as on iTunes or Google Play. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com. Thank you for listening.
It up court, and then it gets picked off. A long three by Pangos, no good. 1 second, it's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number one team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you are.